You love. Oh, come on, let's just talk in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kira bam frada godoso minge go godoso fosu fedise vede ke bo frodo godo. Nen kuru bada fronondo se fredosu kovite gedise vrondo kuru batasa. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Eleva fadoso vediza vando gadozo. Eni eno govozike vedegede. Keni ego doso finge kuda vadagadoso miye vadagada. Manto semonondo kula bayando suso vigede. Ondo quele ke duso fele ke doso miye lagada. Mondo vondo vende giga gagadaso gese. Non tikasa. We worship you, Father, and we thank you. We thank you. Thank you and we praise you. Yes, we do. Yes, we do in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to Wednesday evening church. All right, so I trust the day's been good. I trust the week's been great. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. All right. So initially, you know, last Wednesday, I guess I thought that that was the final recording before service, you know, kicks off. And then later realized, oh, no, you know, you know, my wife was like, oh, there's still one more Wednesday. I'm like, oh, you know, so yeah, there is, and it's today because church opens from Sunday. Ijebu Church kicks off Sunday, Wednesday, straight up Lagos, every Sunday. But I trust that everybody's ready, like getting ready, super ready. It will be a great time in church. I mean, it's been quite like 5 months there about plus. So yeah, it'll be great time. Looking forward to it, and we're really gonna have a great time. So Have you listened to the audio that was sent on Sunday? Have you? All right. That's the shortest, all right, shortest audio we've sent in a while, or shortest so far. I know there was this extract from a Zoom leaders meeting where I was talking about John 4. You know, the Holy Ghost is in you as a well and through you as a river. I know we sent that out. So that might have been like maybe 28 minutes. I know it was reduced later. But so maybe 28, but this is 25. So this is the shortest. I mean, we've done like a couple of 1 hours. We've done like a few over an hour. So this is short, guys. So how's it been? I mean, I trust you heard stuff. You were blessed. And it is amazing to hear her testimony, okay, her victory over asthma, and then her victory over inoperable cancer. Super stuff, all right? Great stuff. And the reason why God is bringing these things to us is so that we see that there's assurance in His Word, victory in His Word. Yes, this is like health in particular, but the same faith, guys. The same faith that deals with health, deals with protection, deals with preservation, deals with provision. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. You know, this message is from a two-part audio. And one thing, I might share that. Let me share that now or maybe later. You know. But it's just exciting. Of course, in there also, in the first one, she mentioned the asthma thing. But then this one now deals with the asthma and the cancer thing. But I like the fact that the attention was given to the Word. I mean, how many people will be rolled in, you know, to the operating theater and they'll be laughing on their way in? That takes some filling up with the Holy Ghost, don't you think so? That takes some really good, like, you must be high, you know, high on the Holy Ghost, all right, to walk into the theater. Well, wheeled into, you know, and then you're laughing. All right, either you're laughing because you're really already like drunk, high on the Spirit, or you're laughing as an act of faith. Whoever laughs just so that they'll say, I laugh and I was going, amen. That person is on his or her own. But, you know, she either laughed, but no, she didn't even say she was laughing by faith. She was full of the Word. And it's super exciting. So we've been learning. I mean, that's our focus in the last couple of Wednesdays has been, you know, on feeding on God's Word, meditating on God's Word, getting more and more into God's Word. So these teachings have just lined up, you know, beautiful, beautiful alignment, you know, in that particular order. Because, guys, the Word, all right, intake affects your faith and the operations of your faith. The Word intake affects your worship. You know, the Word intake affects your prayer. You know, you hear some people say, me, I just love to worship. Everything about my life is worship. Great. You cannot worship effectively without knowledge. You know, the psalmist said, praise Him with understanding. That's even what I'm saying, praise in your understanding. With. So you need to have a grasp. And which you notice the psalmist did have. So you can't say, well, I'm just giving to the Lord worship. Man, if you turn on music like this, man, I'm gone. If you start playing worship, man, me, I'm gone. You know, all those, you know, way people can be doing, you know, me, man, oh. Yeah. But you've got to give attention to the Word to effectively. John 4 says, they that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? His Word is truth. All right? So, you know, we just say, can we just lift our hands and let's all worship in spirit and to God? What is truth? Is His Word. So your worship springs from the Word, comes from a revelation of His Word. Please understand that. And then your prayer, John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you would ask what you will, it will be done. And then your faith can't rise above your knowledge. So then faith cometh by hearing, you know. So our relating with the Father, relationship with the Father is hinged, guys, largely on our intake of the Word. And we should have a good dose of it. I want to therefore believe, all right? And I would like to sustain that belief that we've been given quite some time to meditating on the Word. We've been given quite some time to putting our foot down, all right, and sticking it up. Because like it happens every time on the media, there'll be some bad news. You know, why is 2020 like this? It's just so wild. 2020 is just so sad. No, there's no year that is bad. Bad things might happen in a year. The year is not bad. Please understand that. bad things might happen to like 3, 4, 5 people. Doesn't make a year bad. Oh, 2020, not again. Why you? There's nothing wrong with 2020. In the same 2020, people have gotten married, guys. And they are still getting married before the year ends. In the same 2020, people have given birth. In the same 2020, businesses prospered, individuals got new jobs. In the same 2020. So don't label it wrongly. Don't label the year because of one ugly situation or happenings or a series of happenings and events. No, it is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. All right? We keep our focus on God's word. We're not denying things, but we're only saying, this is the word. Proverbs chapter 4, 18, for instance, the path of the just is a shining light. All right? It shines brighter and brighter onto a perfect day. So we stick to the word. We stay with the word. Hope you get that, please. So our lives are hinged on God's word. And that's what we're learning, all right? So we'll kick off again in Matthew. And then the 12th chapter of Matthew. We're going to have a great time, you know, in the next few minutes. So Matthew in 12, and then the 33rd verse, you remember that? So like beautiful, beautiful revelation from the very lips of Jesus Christ. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. So make means it's in the hand of the maker. And here Jesus is talking and saying, you make. So Jesus or God here is not the maker. Please understand the context. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. So what fruit is your life showing? All right? Your life will therefore be identified by those fruits. But good news, you can change it. Oh, hallelujah. You can change it. So 34, brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He begins to give revelation there. So he's saying that these guys can't speak good things because their heart is filled with evil. So secret is fill your heart with what you want your life to reflect. All right? Please get this. Because sometimes we sit back and like, oh, God, why is this thing going to, when is it going to change? Why is this happening? Those things don't change stuff. I wish they could. I'd love to use that method too. But it don't change. So Jesus said in Matthew 6, how many of us by worrying can add a cubit to our lives? So worry doesn't add to us. It depletes us. All right? It drains us. So Jesus is saying, oh brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 35, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure will bring forth evil things. Do you remember, you know, Trina Hankins, you know, Reverend Trina? She was saying that, you know, when she was diagnosed and, you know, kept back in the hospital, her husband said, you know, let me get home, I will be back tomorrow. That's an opportunity for someone to get emotional. How could you leave me now? Yeah, there's a time where, you know, you could meditate over there. Maybe near to just be in a different space. And she got that. So I would like to believe while he went away, she was also busy with the word. And he came back the next day to speak to the cancer. But issue is, he knew the principle of the heart. He knew, I need to go feed my heart. I need to go do something. And thank God. All right? It wasn't the fire brigade approach of, we've been carnal for the last like 6 months. There's an issue right now, and then I'm running up or down, and then something goes wrong. And that happens, and it's sad. I'm not trying to be insensitive. It's sad when it does happen. You know, someone now saying, oh God, if only you heal my, you know, XYZ, maybe family member, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And then the person still dies and say, God disappointed me. No, you were trying to hook God if we're not careful. Hey, but I know someone it happened to. You don't know what else the person might have done. You don't know who else was praying for the person in need of the healing. You don't even know if the person in need of the healing had laid certain spiritual foundation. We don't know. So we try to copy certain things we don't have a full grasp on or off. You know, oh God, if only you, I will. You know, so sometimes you hear people say, I made a deal with God and it worked. But some other times, if you've ever, you know, had to interact with certain people, they tell you how disappointed they are. Had I told God this, he didn't do it. I said, I don't think God is real. God, how could God be so wicked and watch, you know? And it's so it's when we need him, we realize that, hey. And that's what Ouroboros used to say. You know, Ouroboros was criticized, you know, back then in America for saying God is a good God. Imagine that. People getting angry at a preacher for saying God is good. People getting mad at him saying expect a miracle today. And then people will tell him, I don't believe in miracles. He said, no problem. The day you need one, you believe in it. I mean, this is big. I mean, Oral was super like criticized over the things he said. But God remains good. I mean, amazingly, imagine how people could want to shut up a preacher for saying God is a good God. Because God has been associated with evil. Even church folk, all right, will call sickness and untimely death the will of God. God needed a flower in heaven, so he had to pluck one down here. God needed a new angel to behold his face, and then he took your child. And then they've said all that against God, you know. So they've institutionalized unbelief, spiritualized it, actually. It's worse. So when a preacher now comes who understands the healing power of God, they say, no. It can't be true. Reason is because he's going to expose our weakness. We don't know how to pray to get people healed, so it's better to tell people he's God. And I learned that from Andromache's sincerity. All right? A woman, I think, her child, you know, a couple's child died and all. And Andrew said, that was just a good opportunity to push it on God. You know? It could be God's will. Let's just accept it as the will of God. He said, no, he told them that this is not God's will. There's something I missed. There's something you missed. This is not God's will. It's not what anybody wants to hear at that time, but pushing it on God is always the easiest escape. You know, so we try to pray to raise dead, we can't or we don't, and then we say, you know, maybe God just wants it to lie off. Maybe God, now, yes, there are times you just sense in your heart, let it go. All right, but is there from just push it on God? Person is sick, we can't get a person healed, push it on God. No, we can't keep pushing it on God. We shouldn't spiritualize unbelief. We shouldn't institutionalize unbelief. We shouldn't do that. So a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. This here is classic. It means right where you are this evening, all right, right wherever you might be listening to this teaching right now, you might need direction, and your brain says you don't have it. You are the good man according to God's word. Now, fill your heart with good treasure on direction. John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatever I hear, will he speak. He will show you things to come. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will lead you along the best pathway for your life. I'll guide you. I'll watch over you, my eyes. I'll counsel you. Surround your heart, fill your heart with thoughts on guidance and direction. Oh, if it's finances, you're the good man. But you need prosperity treasure in your heart. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you abound. 2 Corinthians 8. All right, verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Isaiah 48 and 17. I am the Lord your God, your Redeemer. I will teach you to profit. I'll lead you in the way you should go. So you could find scripture. Like Hagin will say, find scripture that covers your case. Load up on it. Load up on it. Do you remember the God's medicine that we, you know, listened to and read the other time? You know, by that Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. And how that in the mini book, I believe you read it, he talked about, you know, his daughter, Pat, needing to present herself before a nurse, you know, when the school week begins. And his wife, Orita, is saying, what should Pat say to the nurse? And he spent nights in meditation. 3 nights. Listens to the news from 10 to 10:15. Reads through scriptures on healing 1 hour. Meditates an hour. Sleep 1 hour. Meditate an hour. Sleep 1 hour. Meditate an hour. The day starts. And he does that for 3 nights. He didn't need to say tell Pat to tell the nurse. He just wrote back, Pat is healed. The letter gets back home. They open it to read, Pat is healed. They check and the thing is gone. He loaded up. You know, by God, I trust that we're raising a new generation that will learn to load up on the word. I know things might seem insurmountable, but Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Philippians chapter 2 tells us also that it is God that is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you, child of God, you are not alone. You're fortified with energy from within. You might feel weak, but hey, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's your story. That's your case. Oh, but you might say, but you don't know what I'm facing. I really don't. But the word was written before the case, meaning the solution showed up before the problem. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's your testimony, child of God. You are born of God. You are the overcomer. You are born of God. You are the world champion. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Face it headlong. Face it. And tell that thing, you are going. I'm standing. You'll be gone. I'll still be here. I am born of God. I overcome the world. I am a victor. I am more than a conqueror. I, in this place, am the champion. Please understand this. You know, you might have heard the phrase or the statement, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. You might have heard it. You might have said it. But if you haven't understood it, you won't realize when you're sleeping off it. For instance, so it's maybe pain. You're right? And then you're speaking God's word. First day, second day, maybe a couple of days. So in your mind, you're like, ah, I really wish this pain could go down. Let me have the victory over it. Unconsciously, you're telling yourself, I don't have the victory yet. So unconsciously, you're actually telling yourself, I am fighting for victory. No, you need to meditate on the phrase, I am fighting from victory. It's a financial thing. Your faith is out. Money's not coming the way you want it to come. But then you feel, man, if only I can get this thing, I will praise God, eh? If only I can get this thing, I will really rejoice and be thankful. But then Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have it. Meaning, thank him now. Your rejoicing is a demonstration of your faith. Did you get that? Your rejoicing is a demonstration of your faith. So, did you get that? You might need to write that down, please. If maybe you're not driving or something. Your rejoicing is a demonstration of your faith. I'll say it one more time. Your rejoicing is a demonstration of your faith. Did you get that? Now, so I'll go back to the illustration or to illustrate the fighting from victory and fighting for victory. So let's say you are the heavyweight, you know, champion, boxing. And then you get into the ring. You enter the arena as the heavyweight champion. Please understand that. You are in that ring as the heavyweight champion. You don't stop being heavyweight champion when the fight begins. The other person is not the champion. That is the contender. Yes, maybe by round three, he gave you, you know, one, you know, right uppercut. And you hit the floor. They had a counting, but he got up at six. You are still the champion. What the commentators will say will still be, wow, this champion is having a hard fight today. Oh my goodness, this champion is having a hard fight. They won't say, oh wow, this new guy is a champion now. Nobody says anything till the match is over. Please understand this. You entered into the arena as the champion. You entered into the ring as the champion. Until the fight is over, maybe by knockout or by judge's decision, nobody says who the champion is. And when you win, because you will, all right? When the referee raises up your hand, or before he raises up your hand, all he needs to say is, by the, you know, unanimous decision or split decision or everybody thinks from the judges, you know, so-so person wins by this, and still remaining. He doesn't even need to call your name yet. Once this, and still remaining, the heavyweight, everybody scream because they know that's you. But if the other guy won, and then he did by unanimous decision
or split decision, and then just begins to say, and the new. Everybody already knows he doesn't need to call name. We know the contender won. I'm saying this to let you know, please, that you enter the arena as the victor. In Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, thanks be unto God, who leads us always in triumph in Christ Jesus. Guys, always. All right? Always. 1 Corinthians 15 says something similar. 2 Corinthians 2, 14, I just made reference to. 1 Corinthians 15 also tells us, thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. Guys, always. Always. So, you are the champion. Romans 8 says you are more than the conqueror. You are. That's who you are. I know you're facing something. Face it like the champion. Don't say, when I win. No. Remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12? Fight the good fight of faith. And we've been taught. Why is it a good fight? Because it's a fight in which you win. You will fight. But we knew the end from the beginning. You won. So fight like you're the victor. Don't say, if only this sickness, I can win. No. Oh, when this money comes, I will praise God. Start praising Him now. Start praising Him now. You're not fighting for victory. You're not the contender trying to prove a point. You are the heavyweight champion. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, child of God. Yes, your faith. Hallelujah. So rejoice. Rejoice. You're singing. You're laughing. You're smile. You know? You know the way a victor poses. And you're smiling when the opponent is bragging. You know, I don't need to make noise. He's busy saying, I'll knock you. I'll knock you down. Punch you out. Beat you. Beat you again. Just, I'll see you soon. You know, and you Mike Tyson the guy. Round one, knockout. Glory to God. I know I'm talking to a victor in this house this evening. And I'm talking to a victorious person this evening. You win. No matter what the weapon is, we win. No matter what the devil slings at us, we win. No matter the sickness, the symptom, no matter. Please understand that sickness is not your friend. It's an enemy. And it's a defeated enemy. Alright? Jesus, when he was physical on this earth, would need to either speak the word, be touched, do something. But he went to the cross once and for all, carried all sicknesses once and for all, healed all of us once and for all. You're not trying to be healed. You have been healed. Matthew 8:17, child of God, himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Did you get that? Himself took our infirmities. Himself carried away our sicknesses. He took it. Your own asthma has been taken. Your own ulcer has been taken. Your own coronavirus has been taken. Your own leukemia has been taken. Your own whatever name it is has been taken. They say, oh, no, mine was taken. I say, are we not personalizing when I say mine? Yeah, personalize this one. It means your own is taken. It means it can't be found. It can't be found. It means it's gone. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm talking to a victor in the house this evening. You are victorious. He took your infirmities. He took your infirmities. Carried away your sicknesses. When you have a revelation of this, you'll be afraid that you might contract a disease. Because you know your own was taken. I remember John Lake. John Lake would go take care of sick people. They'll be foaming in the mouth, dying. He'll attend to them. He'll go home. He'll say, no contagion got on me. Neither did any follow me back home. It's a revelation. Some might not say, you know, everybody's not at that level of faith. I agree. But when Corona started in March, lockdown, we agreed that everybody was not at the level of faith. This is 5 months after. Are we still not at the level of faith? Hey-o. Oh, dear. Then what are you doing with your faith? We've been loading up weekly. Loading up weekly. What have you done with your faith? You can't say, you know, we need to wear face masks. It's just for safety. Sometimes not for me, for the person around. You said it 5 months ago. You shouldn't talk like that today. You've heard Hagin. You've heard Mark Hankins. You've heard Trina Hankins. You've heard Andrew Womack. You can't talk like that today. Well, let me not say you can't. You shouldn't. But once again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Don't forget what Jesus said. Verse 37 of that Matthew 12, he said, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Your words will locate you. Your words will tell your address in the realm of the spirit. They will tell where you are. You don't have to say it out. Even your thoughts will locate you. Your thoughts will tell your spiritual address. You might sound like everybody, but you know what you're feeling and thinking and fearing. But come on. Come on. Between now and Sunday, it's enough time for people to gym up beyond Corona. I mean, over the weekend, there was a gist on cancer and a popular person being hit by it. And we've said from the beginning, many people are being hit. Many people are in the hospital, and half of it, a tenth of it, is not coronavirus. It will blow away, and we're still going to deal with things. Deal with different things. And we're going to hide it under handsome faces, neatly cut hair, well-ironed shirts and trousers, or well-made-up faces, new wig, high heel shoes. And we're going to hide, but God forbid we hide such things, guys. Oh, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. For God was with him. Sickness is satanic oppression. And 1 John 3 says, "For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And he did destroy it. He did destroy it. And we're seated together with him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, guys. We're seated. He's giving us the authority. He's giving us the power. He's giving it to us. What do you do? Load up. Load up on the word. Load up on it. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus begins to say here, we looked at it about 2 weeks ago. I'd mentioned we might look at it last week, but we didn't. But Matthew 13 and the 15th verse, Jesus says here, "For the hearts of these people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and should turn and be healed." What is Jesus saying here? It means you can set in motion your healing. Same applies for prosperity. How do I set it in motion? Look at it again. "For these people's hearts have grown dull." Matthew 13, 15. "Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed." He now says, "Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I'll heal them." Let me switch to the King James. I want to show you something there. So beautiful. KJV says, "For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time," that's what I like there, "lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and be converted, I will heal them." Meaning, even if God doesn't want to heal any person, which is not so, but even if God doesn't want to heal any person, at any time the person sees with his eyes, hears with his ears, and understands, once you fulfill those three, all right? Now, it might take a while to get to the heart. You feed your eyes, feed your ears, feed your heart through your mouth. You keep feeding, 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 feeding. Once it clicks your heart, there will be a shift. That's what is called converted here. New King James uses the word turn. Romans says transformed. Once that conversion, that turning, that transformation takes place, the thing you want will happen. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans will put people in her home with her sister. These people have been given up by doctors to die, and they will tell them, "As long as you are awake, speak this scripture." And they will give them like Matthew 8:17. And these people are already told by the doctors, "You have 3 weeks to live, 1 month to live, 6 months to live, 3 days or something." Who start saying, "Himself took my infirmities, carried away my sicknesses. Himself took my infirmities, carried away my sicknesses. Himself took," and they'll say, "Sleep, wake up, say it, sleep, wake up, say it, sleep, wake up, say it." One woman, first day said, "I'm not understanding." They said, "Don't worry, you don't have to, keep saying it." The second day, "I'm not understanding it," continue saying it. Because this thing is not, you're not feeding your mind, you're going straight into your heart. Ha, yeah, yeah. By the third day, herself and her sister were downstairs, they just had a third, doom, upstairs. Someone walked downstairs, it was the same woman that had been given up to die. Completely healed. But first, she said, "I didn't get it." And that's a trick of the devil. It might have happened to you. You speak it, speak it, speak it. After saying for 30 minutes, I think you wasted your time. You didn't say anything. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. Once the word meets the ground, germination starts. The rest of your speaking, you are watering it. He wants to dissuade you, discourage you from watering this thing. He knows what will happen. He knows. Don't let him stop you. Stay with the word. Stay with the word, child of God. Don't forget the three gates that were mentioned here. The eye, the ear, the heart. All right? The eye, the ear, the heart. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. So beautiful. From the 20th verse. Proverbs 4 from 20. All right? Proverbs 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I mistakenly opened Proverbs 20. I could quote it, but I just want to read it. Proverbs 4, 20. Yeah, I'm there. All right. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice again what we saw in Matthew 13, 15. Eyes, ears, and heart. Here again. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Those three areas again. The word should go through your ears. And your mouth already comes in there. When you speak it, you hear it. Don't just play healing scriptures. Please don't. And say, well, I'm listening to healing scripture. No. As you are hearing it, if it's Kenneth Hagin's healing scripture, as he quotes it, quote it with him. Quote it with him. I mean, I've had to teach people that because I learned it by experience. Many years ago, I had this funny symptom and I was playing it. And it was as if the more I was playing the healing scriptures, as if the devil brought fan and start fanning me. Like, yes, be listening. Just listen as long as it will take. Almost like, you know, it set me into relax. Don't use your faith. Enjoy. I Holy Ghost said, you'll stay here for long. As Hagin is saying, he said, as if I wasn't there for 30 minutes. I said it till I got up. And I've had a teacher that interesting. I heard Trina Hanke say recently. He said, don't play the thing. Say the thing. Don't just play it and say, I'm playing healing scriptures. All right? Say it. It has to go through. And listen, God's word does better coming out of your own mouth to your ear. Please get that too. Copeland taught that many, many years ago. There's a series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life. The word of God will do well for you. All right? So, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. 22. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Don't forget Matthew, Jesus said, then they'll be converted. When he enters the heart, there'll be conversion. Here it says, when he enters the heart, life will flow. Remember what Psalm 119 tells us? The entrance of the word gives light. That's the word here, guys. The entrance gives light. I want you to see something here. For they, what are they? Words, my words, are life to those that find them. All right? And health. To all that flesh, life to all, health to all. The word health there is also the word medicine. Did you get that? The word health here is the word medicine. So God's word is medicine. You would have heard Kenneth Hagin say that. God's word. So are you facing a situation? Take the medicine. All right. This is teaching you meditation. So let me say this, and I need you to write it down if you can. Meditation is your medication. All right, medicate on your meditation. Medicate with your meditation. Medicate by your meditation, because meditation is your medication. So the doctor says, take this 2 in the morning, 2 in the evening. And really, take it. The doctor gave it to you. But while you take his prescription, follow God's prescription. Sounds like, what is God's prescription? Attend to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Let it not depart out of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Then how do I take that prescription? The doctor tells you already, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You meditate therein day and night. That's your prescription. All right? Blessed is the man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he will meditate day and night. So meditate, medicate. Your meditation is your medication. What's the prescription? Day and night. And we know it's not morning and night. It's okay if you start that way. Morning, 10 minutes. Night, 10 minutes. Morning, 15 minutes. Night, 15 minutes. Meditation is your medication. Why? For they, my words, are life to those that find them. And they, my words, are health, medicine. Medicine, guys, to all their flesh. Your hair, your eyes, your back, your knee, your bones, your intestines, your liver, your heart, your kidney, health to all your flesh. Your skin is breaking. Something's happening. Rashes not going. There's a wound not healing. The word is health, is medicine to all your flesh. But medicine does no good when you leave it in the bottle. You've got to take it. And you cannot take it how you will. You take it according to prescription. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, are life to those that find them. My words are health, medicine to all your flesh. Take this prescription. One in the morning, one at night. Two in the morning, two at night. Three in the morning, three at night. You could start from there. You could shift to morning, noon, and night three times a day. You could shift to morning, noon, evening, and midnight four times a day. 5 minutes, 15 minutes. I told you many times ago, months ago, about Novel Hayes when he was teaching how to live and not die. And he told a woman that had, you know, the tumor in her, made her look like she was pregnant with maybe like twins. And he said, you know, doctor gave her 8 months to live. And he told her husband, if your wife would do what I say, she would live. If she wouldn't, she would die. I mean, he wasn't cursing her. He was just saying he knows what will work. And what did he ask her to do? 2 hours every day. You are the one that knows what you're up against. You know what you're dealing with. Your friends might not know. They might say, hey, let's hang out. Let's spend some extra time at work today. Oh, let's meet at the joint. Oh, let's watch this movie. Have you seen this series? They might say this or say that. You know what you need to give attention to. You are the one who will say, hey, I can't do one pill in the morning, one pill at night. I can't do one pill on Sunday and the next pill next week, Friday. No, I've got to follow the doctor's prescription. I take it in the morning and at night. I've got to do not now morning and night, day and night. Anytime through the day. And if you don't time it, you might not do it. And if you don't time it well, you might not do it well. You know, you could say, by stress and heal, 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 by stress and heal. Okay, I'm putting a beat already. You know, you could do that. And after a while, you'll say, I've said it where? And all you did was like 3 minutes, 42 seconds. Child of God, push. Tell yourself, this thing is medicine. Overdose, no, they kill. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? His word is life to those that find them. Health to all their flesh. Overdose never kills. In fact, it will work faster. Take it. 3 hours a day. 4 hours a day. You know what you're dealing with. Do you understand that? You know what you're dealing with. So no matter what it is. And he says in Psalm 1 verse 3, when you meditate day and night, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth your own fruit in your own season. Your leaves will never wither. Anything you do will prosper. Who doesn't like that kind? Overdose, no, they kill. When it comes to God's word, load up. Child of God, load up. Creflo Dollar, many years ago, was diagnosed with prostate cancer. He came back from the hospital, told his wife, for the next 3 days, I don't want to see anybody do anything. I just want to be locked up. He had Gloria Copeland's healing materials, Orobot's healing videos, and he went in with his Bible 3 days. Chewed the word, came out, went back straight to the doctor. The doctor said, I can't find it anymore. He overdosed, no, they kill. So don't say, I spoke the word 10 minutes today. I've just been busy. I'll speak it again over the weekend. You know what you're dealing with. Meditation is your medication. So have you had your meditation today? Have you taken your pills? Your meditation, your medication. Come on, let's medicate. Hallelujah. What do we medicate on right now? Himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. He himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. He himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Jesus, hallelujah, took my infirmities. He took it. He took it. He took it. The back pain, the leg pain, the feeling in the head, the feeling in the knee. He took my infirmities. Jesus took it. Oh, hallelujah. He took it. He bore my infirmities, carried my sicknesses. Glory to God. He took my infirmities, carried my sicknesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, medicate. Medicate. Take your medicine. Take your medicine. Glory to God. If it's love walk you need, take your medicine from 1 Corinthians 13. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm not easily provoked. Take your medicine. Medicate on the word. Overdose, no, they kill. All right? Load up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Because out of the abundance of the heart, That's you took plenty. Your heart is full. Out of the abundance. All right. And one thing I notice is when you are so full of the word on healing, it affects other areas of your life. When you're full of the word in one area, it starts trying to spill into another area because it's the same faith. You start learning, I trust him here, let me trust him there. Sometimes you just see something spill, just realize your faith is building in other areas. Amen. All right, glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. We got victory. We got victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have victory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, so are you ready for Sunday? I trust you are. All right, Sunday's going to be a great time. We're going to have an exceptionally awesome, awesome time in church. Get ready to celebrate, to hear God's word. All right, you know, we're going to, it's word. We're going to talk word. So just get ready. Your pastors are getting ready already. So I'm looking forward to all the preparations, and I trust, all right, we'll be, you know, two churches launching. I'll be in both places. Just I'll be one place in a male body and another place in a female body. All right, so I'm sure you got that joke. All right, so we're going to have a great time, all right, on Sunday. I look forward to it. It will be a new season for every one of us, a new day, all right? Encourage everybody. It's time to get more and more into God's word, to dig deeper, all right, to dive in, you know, super deep, super well, you know, just super deep and super well into the word like never before, like nothing else. Glory to God. All right. I trust you're blessed. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you. We appreciate you greatly for what we've learned tonight. We have victory. Thank us within now. Sunday, we grow more and more in grace, in knowledge, and in revelation. Thank you also for our Sunday services are blessed, full of grace and full of glory in the name of Jesus. All right. Have a great evening. Great, great evening. See you on Sunday. Keep listening to the message. All right. Yeah, yeah. Bye.
So good to me. I believe it's been good to you. Your mercy is everlasting.